This morning, our scripture reading is Hebrews 5, 7 to 10. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his fervent submission. Son, though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. This is a reading of the word.
Now to the last of the Beatitudes, these blessings that Jesus gives. There are some who say that one of the great needs of the church today is to return to the Sermon on the Mount. For we live in a time in which Sunday school classrooms are empty. Churches are closing. And there are multitudes who are untouched and not claimed by Christ in our world, in our country, in our community today. And so maybe now more than ever we need to return to the basics, to be refreshed and renewed and reclaimed by the very basics of what it means to be in Christ. And so voices are calling us to recover and renew our study and preaching of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And the introduction to that are the Beatitudes, and that's one of the reasons that I have chosen to preach through them with you in these weeks of summer. Let us pray. O God, let us hear your scriptures proclaimed and your word revealed. Enable our hearts and minds to more fully understand your goodness and grace through Jesus Christ. Amen. And so Jesus in chapter 5. Now when he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Wow, what words. Blessed when people insult you, persecute you falsely, say all kinds of evil against you. Rejoice. Be glad. Well, it's a good thing that Jesus said these words. If anyone else had said them, I, for one, would be willing to give it a pass. But these are the words of Jesus. It goes against logic, doesn't it? It's contrary to reason. Our natural response when people hate us is what? What's the natural response? To hate them back. When people insult us, what's the natural response? To insult them back, at least in our mind, if not in actual word or expression. The famous German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, 19th century, hated Christianity. He thought that it made people weak. And he hated weakness. What he didn't understand was, this is our call to courage and to strength, this last beatitude. Nietzsche thought that his strength had to come out of himself. He wrote about the Superman. Unfortunately, 50 years later, the Nazis pick this up, this idea of the Superman, and they make a racial superiority thing and with it. The Nazis loved Nietzsche. The Superman, the overman, the person who's able to be strong and to take on life with all of its challenges, never flinching. That's what Nietzsche wanted. What he didn't understand was that our strength is not in ourselves. Our strength is in our faithful God and in the demonstration and gift of Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection. That is our strength. Notice that this beatitude does not say if. There's no if about it. When. It's inevitable, and it will happen to all of us. Whenever we bring forth in our lives the peace and love of Christ, in whatever situation we are in, whenever the peace and love of Christ is in us and given expression, the Antichrist will appear. The resistance will appear. Now, it may not be at that very moment. It may be the next day. It may be the next week. But the face of the Antichrist will come in its good time. So that whenever Christ in us is given expression, there will be resistance. There will be opposition. The Antichrist will be present. Now, if you want a life or a faith of success, if you want a life or a faith in which it's all blue skies up above and clear sailing and calm waters, if that's the kind of life, faith that you want, You better go find it someplace else. You won't find it here in the Christian faith. At the very center of our faith is a cross. That's the key symbol. It's the story of suffering love to the point of crucifixion and death. It's sacrificial love, redemptive love. That's what we are called to. There are many people today who are not here in the churches. They're on the beach, walking in the woods, sitting at home. God bless them. They want a spirituality, but they don't want organized religion. They don't want a cross. They want to be spiritual, but they don't want to be religious. And most of all, they don't want you. They don't want you. And when I say you, I mean a big you. I'm not picking on you. I am picking on you, but I'm not picking on you. Just you. I mean the you, the church down the road, and I mean the church on the other side of town. We all are hypocrites. We're not very much of a model what it means to be a faithful Christian. I'm not. I don't think you are either. I'm making an assumption here, right? You know you're not. You gossip. You lie. You hurt people. You are disagreeable. And you are pathetic. You're a pathetic congregation of failures. And you're not worthy of my time. So I want to be spiritual. And organized religion doesn't have any place in my enlightenment. And the last thing I need is people like you. But God has a different plan. And the first thing that God does is God gives us each other. Just as we are. Warts and all. God gives us each other to love and forgive and serve with all of our warts and problems and hang-ups and all of our meanness and our greed and our anger. God gives us each other. And God gives us a cross as the defining sign of faithful life. I love that picture of Jesus that was read this morning from the book of Hebrews. I hope maybe you caught something of that picture. The writer of Hebrews says that he, Jesus, in his earthly life, now get this picture, put this picture clearly in your mind, offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears. the perfect, sinless one. The one who was faithful at every moment of his life. The Son of Man who became the model, the prototype of this is what it means to be a human being. This one. With loud cries and tears, petitions and prayers. Now that is an authentic spirituality. And then it says, probably one of the most audacious things in all of the Bible, that this spotless, sinless, that this one who was in absolute perfect harmony with the Creator of life, the Son of God, the third person of the Trinity, learned from all he suffered. And if the Son of God needed to struggle in order to learn perfect obedience, how much more do I need to? The persecution, the pain, the hardships, not if, when. And we have a choice when this happens to us, when we suffer hardship, when we are insulted, when we face the difficult moments, the losses in our lives. We can allow those things to make us angry and mean, make us hard. Or we can cut ourselves off from other people. We can have an isolated spirituality cut off from other people. Or we can allow our hurts, our pain, our tears, our petitions and prayers, like Jesus, our cries, our tears in the night, to connect us more intimately with the hurts and pains and needs of the world, and more intimately with the Jesus who had prayer and petition and loud cries and tears. Nietzsche didn't get it. But you get it. You get it, don't you? In God's hands, our prayers and petitions, our cries in the night will become praise. They will become praise. Our laments will be transformed. That's God's promise. It's so wonderfully held in a hymn that I discovered just recently, in the refrain that says, "Earth, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal." Isn't that a wonderful song to sing? Will you take that into your hearts? Earth has no sorrow. All of the laments will turn to praise. And that's why Jesus says at the end of this beatitude and all of the beatitudes, "Rejoice, you're not alone. Be glad. My strength and power is already at work in your life." There's another song, and the first time I heard it wasn't at church. It was listening to Garrison Keillor on a Saturday night. And the words, "What though my joys and comforts die?" And they will, you know. Everything that we have is going to be taken. We will lose. It will be gone. Everything. "What though my joys and comforts die, I know my Savior liveth. What though the darkness gather round, songs in the night he giveth." The peace of Christ makes fresh my heart, a fountain ever springing. All things are mine, since I am his. How can I keep from singing? Blessed. Blessed.